a reading from Paul's letter to his brother, his son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound teaching, but having their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, be sober-minded, endure suffering, and do the work of an evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation. At the time of my departure has come, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. We do have a few Presbyterians here. When we say this is the word of the Lord, we recite together, thanks be to God. Would you do that with me? This is the word of the Lord. Y'all are so good. Coach. That's the word that comes to mind to me when I hear this scripture. This relationship that Paul the apostle had with Timothy, his son in the faith, who he became a mentor to. One who he took under his leadership when he was still a young person. Timothy didn't know if he had much to offer in education, in teaching, in preaching. But Paul had confidence and encouragement and mentored him to be his co-worker, sojourner in ministry. It's what coaches do in many ways. Kendall Simmons was here earlier today, former NFL player, Super Bowl champion, and Vince took all the credit for that. No, he was his offensive coordinator, and Kendall said, I wasn't going to miss this for anything. And he said, now I'm a coach, and the things that you and Coach Story and others poured into me, that's what I try to live out in the young men whose lives I frame. So as we consider that word coach today, and I think that's one of the first things that come to many of our minds when we think of Vince, I want to speak on his life with that word as an acronym this morning, maybe, or this afternoon, maybe something we can take with us in celebrating his life, his legacy, his love. When I think of the C of coach and how Vince embodied that, he was a corrector. What do I mean by that? One who was skilled in the gift of correcting. I know many of his colleagues at Mill Creek and those who worked with him in high school administration knew that he had the skill of leading, and even when correction had to be done, it was done with respect, with compassion, with love for the other. That is a true gift that is wanted so much in our world. The skill, as his baseball players have told me, as Jason Scott shared with me earlier this week, he said he was a hard-nosed old-school coach. He made us do it the right way. But we knew he cared about us. He would run through a brick wall for you. That's how you mentor. That's how you pour love into another. That's how the Apostle Paul groomed his student, his player, Timothy, to be a sojourner and messenger in the faith. You know, I know that when I think of Vince, the O that comes to mind, of the acronym COACH. He was an overachiever. I wish Paula wouldn't let us do this. I wanted to bring his Bible today. Friends, he has a Bible. He's 13 years old, is that right? I've never seen a more pitiful Bible in my life. I think it was blue at one time. And this thing, it looked about this color. I mean, it was, and I've got it on my phone if any of you want to see me afterward. He had worn that Bible out. Had it stuffed with all kind of things and everything. And in fact, he had a little trick. He said, I put money in there too. So I think he wanted the rest of them to be sure and read that Bible after. There's money all throughout that Bible. Y'all be sure and check that thing when I'm gone. But he was dedicated to his faith. He was an overachiever. But you know what I really appreciate about him? He was an overachiever in others. What does that mean? Made others better. Isn't that what good coaches do? They make us, help us, Austin, as you strive to do, live into the best person we can be. To live beyond what we could do alone, what he and Buddy tried to do in their leadership at Mill Creek, and as you did in administration. What a brotherhood you two have. An overachiever in the lives of others, to pour life into them. That's certainly what Paul the Apostle did as he mentored and nurtured Timothy to give life and love to the church. Helped him believe and see what he could be with love and encouragement. So that kind of segues to the next acronym, the A of COACH. Vince was an affirmer, an encourager. There's another place in Scripture where the Apostle Paul speaks of Barnabas. And Barnabas was so central in Paul's ministry. You know what his main job was? He was an encourager. Paul described him as son of encouragement. Isn't that what our young people need today? Those mentors who believe in them, who can pour life into them, who see something beyond the darkness that they may be living in the moment, that there is hope. And with one who cares, pours life and love into you, you have a chance to be more than you ever expected alone. Thank you, those of you who are committed to education, who've made careers as Vince did. It was his calling. I'll speak more about that later, as Paula reflected upon. His calling from God to not only be an educator, not only to be a coach, but to change the lives of... You know he was a math teacher? What man does that and is also an offensive coordinator and head baseball coach? They're worried about drawing up plays and they're not worried about algebra. I know I had a student once, I was teaching youth, he said, you know, Brother Jody, I'm pretty good on that math till they start putting them letters in there. And those letters, they mess me up now. I'm with you, man. I struggle with them letters too. But Vince, he took that on. He was a math teacher. He was an affirmer. He was a coach. The second C of a coach, he was and is compassionate. Wow. Compassionate. Sure, he wanted to do it the right way. And there was structure and discipline. But to melt that together with also compassion and fun. I was talking of Jason Scott again earlier. He and David and I and some others. And they had a pretty good baseball team. I forget what year this was. But they were on a big winning streak at Ripley. And in the middle of that winning streak, they were in this old bus, and they got to driving. Vince had got to driving this old bus to the game, and he said, I'm not changing that bus as long as we're winning. And it got in pretty bad shape by the time it was over with. And any of y'all who've ridden from Kossuth or Corinth over toward Ripley, you got that big Tom Ham Hill. And a good bus, on a good day, it's hard to get up that hill. And that one, they really thought they was going to have to get out and push it up that hill one day. And that bus was so bad that earlier that day they'd gone over to Alcorn Central to play them in baseball, and they were showing up, and Alcorn Central was out there warming up. Well, every time you'd take a left turn on that bus, the horn would blow. So here comes the Ripley Tigers in there on that bus, blowing their horn, and all Corn Central's looking mad like they're showing out and everything, and Vince was having a ball. He wasn't giving up that bus. Wouldn't give up on his team. He was hard, disciplined, structured, but he was also compassionate, loving. That's what leaders do. That's what coaches do. The H of being a coach, being a helper. Helping other people, maybe when everybody else is giving up on them. Some of what you guys do at Mill Creek. It's what a lot of you in high school and junior high and middle school administration do now. You stand in the gap. You are a helper to those who at times feel hopeless. What a high calling, an important and holy work. I shared with Diane Bailey earlier Vince's impact upon their family's life. You know all this food out here? This family's been eating all morning. They've been having knickknacks and snacks and refreshments. You know how that happened? Diane Bailey put it together along with these women at this church. But there's a story that, you know why Diane did that? She remembered that when her son Elliot was a ninth grader in high school, he had a serious car accident he was in. He was riding as a passenger. It was almost critical. He barely survived. He was on Vince's baseball team here at Ripley. She said, I can't tell you the number of times Vince drove to Memphis, brought baseballs signed by the team, brought things to encourage and help our family. Diane said, I want to show up today in her own way. See, that's what happens when we practice the gospel. It becomes contagious, doesn't it? Vince, I believe, lived out what Paul the Apostle was saying to his brother Timothy today. He said, witness to the faith, evangelize, minister. You know, sometimes our actions can speak so loudly that our words can't be heard. I just wonder how many people throughout his career as a coach, an administrator, he drew to the faith and inspired them with the love of Christ. I know one he had an impact on, and that's his pastor. Every pastor needs an elder like Vince. He was an encourager, always affirming me. Even those long, boring sermons, he would say, oh, Brother Jody, you hit it out of the park today. Felt good to hear it, even if I knew it wasn't true. Great leader in this church. He's going to be sorely missed. Missed in the lives of these family members and others. I want to share some personal thoughts from his family. And they took on this initiative the family did back last Christmas and said, we want to write stories to Daddy and to my husband Vince and say why we love you. Some of the things. I'm not going to read all of it, but portions of that from Paula. She said, I love you because your soul speaks to me, always has. Your love for me, our children, and all of our ups and downs, the goods and bads that all of us have, but especially your faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Your integrity and commitment and your calling from God to educate and help children. Wow. My soulmate and my best friend, love you with all my heart. Jenna said, Dad, I love you because you inspire me. Wow, how many kids can say that about their parent? You've always pushed me to be the best version of myself, and your example of love and sacrifice have helped me to become the mom, daughter, social worker, and friend, and follower of Christ that I am. Without you, Dad, I wouldn't be who I am. Without your guidance throughout my life, I've been able to love more than I ever thought imaginable, forgive more, find my way with determination and hard work. Treat others with kindness and respect. Share empathy with the brokenhearted or the ones in need. Share words of wisdom and insights and become a leader. Your love for mom, your soulmate, together through anything y'all faced, make me look forward to sharing forever with Austin. And from Justin. Since my first memory in this world, there's been one constant in my life, and that is you, Dad. From the bus rides, to sitting back and watching my hero coach others, riding to South Pontotoc and watching you lead others, I learned compassion, empathy, how to be a man, and how to be my own person. I never doubted for a second how much I was loved or how proud of me you were, because no matter what, you always showed me and told me. You've been my best friend now for 35 years. In that time, we've laughed and cried and every emotion in between. I don't know how I'll make it another 35 years without you, but know that you have been preparing me for a long time to face this day where I won't have to be beside myself. I'll never be ready to be without you, but I can be strong and will be strong, but life won't be the same without my best friend. You're the only hero I ever had, ever needed, and I'm lucky to have the best hero and father and best friend. Love you, Daddy, always will. What else do you say? When we go to glory, if our family can express those emotions and those genuine feelings about the mark we left upon them, you know what we can say? We can say the words that Paul the Apostle uttered to the one he'd coached in the closing of our scripture today. I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. I'm grateful for my friend who indeed fought the good fight. But on this day, in our sorrow, in our grief, as we've talked family and as we've prayed together and as we've wrestled and worried about these days, over these months and years, we don't grieve as those who have no hope, for we know there's no more pain. There's no more suffering. There's no more lying in the bed. There's a fullness of life, love, and joy that Vince is experiencing now. May we have comfort in that. And grandkids, you will see your Poppy again. Gonna be a long time. Gonna be a real long time. But together, we'll all be together who trust in His loving grace that claims us as His children and love without end. Before we close today, at the end of our service, as I've shared, we're going to have a closing prayer and we'll have a blessing. In our worship service, in our tradition, we begin worship with light coming into the church. And then at the end of worship, we take the light out of the church. Kind of symbolic of Christ being the light of the world. Worship doesn't start till He's here. And then we take His light out into the world. Vince's favorite part of the worship is at the end. I know that's common for a lot of y'all. You ready to get it over with? We get to the buffet. But his favorite part of the worship after the light was taken out was when I would offer a blessing to the congregation, and to me, to all of us, God's blessing for us as His church. And I think I figured something out with Vince on that blessing, and he'd be out of the church just as quick as that blessing was over, wouldn't he, Jennifer? He always talked to me. I think what Vince came to understood, the blessing was not the end of worship. The blessing was the beginning of our ministry to the world out there. So this day, as we receive God's blessing, we will honor the life of our friend as we go forth laying our roses and seeking to be light and love in His spirit and in the ways of Jesus our Lord. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we thank you for the life of your faithful son and servant, Vince. We spoke of his good qualities today, but certainly there's parts of Vince that are imperfect, as there are with all of us. Even as we walk through this earth and do our best to be the best that we can, we're still broken, in need of restoration, in need of a Savior. And you understood that and loved us so much that God, you yourself came down from heaven to be Savior for us, to endure all the brokenness, separation, pain, and scars of this world that we all, simply by trusting in you, will be restored. God, as we bow and consider that, may you make yourself known to any this day who do not have the peace that surpasses understanding, that they are loved by you and that you yearn to be their Savior now and forever. We thank you for the life of your good friend and faithful son, Vince. And we ask that we continue to comfort the family and loved ones in prayer, in calls, in comfort, in remembrance of this coach who poured life into all of us who loved him so. In your precious name, Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. And now, friends, would you receive with me God's blessing that Moses first offered to the people of Israel, and we still receive as God's children today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance, his gaze upon you, and give you peace now and forever. Amen.